I thank God for a camp meeting like this and a night like tonight. It's wonderful to have the presence of an almighty God so nearby. Manifestation of His presence. I had to find a little blue sky a little bit ago. Just speak to my Lord. I bless His holy name tonight. He's alive and well. Just on the heels of Brother Andy Wells giving us his heart. There are many here tonight who may not know Brother Andy, I would imagine. Is this place, you've never been here, okay? Brother Andy Wells is, if this means anything to you at all, a dear friend of mine, and I have confidence in anything that God touches this man of God's heart for. Great confidence. I've never known of him to touch anything that God didn't allow him to do it first class. And it seems to me that God is here enlarging his coast in this area. If this means anything, we will not have one vehicle on our grounds that won't be moving on that day, filled to capacity, and personal vehicles as well. God, I believe, will be pleased with His people just declaring allegiance to His Word. I want to reverence the God of heaven in a wicked day. Be all that I can be and declare the truth unadulterated for men and women as they are. And so I thank God for this. And then I want to say tonight, it caused my heart to rejoice to see Brother Doug Raines get somewhere beyond himself tonight. And Sister Chris, what a blessing tonight to see you get so close to the glory land. Hallelujah. I don't have better friends, me and my wife together, my family. Our church family does not have better friends than the Raines family. If you're blessed tonight to have some good godly people around you, you're really blessed. Now I know, Brother Phillips, that over there, they're all crying out, holy, holy, holy. It's going on right now. But when this crowd of the redeemed, those angelic beings, seraphims, cherubims, they know nothing about all of this. When we get there knowing what we know, what an explosion of emotions going to happen over there. As I try to praise Him again, you will never be set free as one of God's children until the day that God Almighty speaks to your heart to do something so out of the norm that it causes people around you to look with that crooked eye and you say, dear God in heaven, I don't care what they think, I'm going anyway. When that happens in your world, you'll know what it is to be free in Jesus. Now tonight, I'm fully aware of the time. It's about 13 minutes until 9 o'clock. I have no earthly idea how quick I can say to you what the Lord has really burdened my heart to say tonight. But I believe it to be of such importance. The cannon may have already been sounded, but there is a place for the little 22 tonight. And I trust it'll hit its mark. Please turn with me, please, quickly, and I will do my best tonight. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 27. I don't want to abuse you, but I want to honor God. It's my desire tonight, as the Raines family was singing earlier. And they began to declare in song, I still trust you, Lord. The Lord dug deep in my heart at that moment. And I want to, if at all possible, hook up with that tonight. My God in heaven, what a great God. You're worthy of all of our praise. High and holy, great and greatly to be praised. With all that's within me, I bless your holy name. My Father, sweet Lord Jesus, and dear Lord, please, I beg for the Holy Ghost. Help me now to help others by your wonderful word and your sweet spirit. Hide me, I beg, in my calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 45, we're at the point of the crucifixion. There is no greater hallowed ground in all of the Bible. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Tonight, we're all keenly aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has never had to ask any question in order to obtain an answer. He is God Almighty. Clearly, He did not need to ask this question on Calvary. He is experiencing the greatest anguish that's in recorded history of any man ever suffering upon this planet. Any other average man would have already been dead, but Jesus lives that I might live. Only dismisses His spirit when He's ready to die. And He suffers all the pain that I should have suffered. Now I want to remind you tonight that while He was on that cross, I was on His mind. And so were you. And so this seems to be a very odd situation. That now, in the most difficult moment, as all of the world goes black, I can almost hear the mighty centurion soldier underneath the cross whimpering in fear as a child, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that something's gone wrong here. We've offended the God who kept the lights on. And now in that darkness, the penetrating cry of the Lord Jesus Christ echoes all the way to this day with that fourth utterance from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew the very answer, but I submit to you that He's looking through the corridor of time. He recognized there would be a day in 1956 when a little baby would be born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They'd call me Tony. He knew that my life was going to be riddled with a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of suffering. He wasn't just looking at me. As He looked through the entire mass of humanity, He knew that life was going to bring every one of us to some critical crossroads. We would reach critical mass in our lives. We would feel pain that we knew we could not get through. we would feel suffering beyond our ability to walk through. Somewhere in our lives, we would get to that point to where even though we know we never suffered to the extent that He was suffering, we would literally feel crucified in this world. Maybe not physically, but somewhere emotionally and spiritually, we would find such a dark place to where we knew that with the human strength alone, we could not go on. And so now He becomes, with that compassionate heart, on the cross, not only my propitiation for sin, but He becomes that great instructor that does not ask a question to get an answer, because the master teacher always knows the answer. The question comes as a rhetorical one. The question comes as a teacher would go to a blackboard, would begin to work out an equation, and would turn and say, "Now what is the answer?" Of course the question is one that's rhetorical, because the teacher knows the answer. But it's very important that the student get it. Jesus wanted us to recognize that there's going to come a time in your life and in mine when everything you've ever believed, everything you've ever preached, everything you've ever stood for, it's somehow going to be brought into question. When the hurt is going to be so deep that all the lights go out. When you feel what He felt, which was extreme desertion and betrayal. Before the lights went out, He looks around under the cross, and where are they? Where are all of those that He touched and helped and healed, blessed and fed? They're gone. Deserted, betrayed. And then He feels that terrible, agonizing pain, not only of betrayal, but all of the suffering that's going on, the emotional trauma that the physical suffering's brought on Him. He's experiencing all of this. And so now there in that great voice from the cross, He becomes a living example of how I'm supposed to handle times in life when I'm broken, crushed, betrayed, deserted, suffering. How should I behave? He gives me the clear illustration. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ raised His head toward heaven. He's addressing God the Father. And I say to you that in that movement, He teaches me that when I don't have an answer, and when it's all foggy, and when my world is flown into 1,000 pieces, if I've ever turned in any direction, I better turn toward God then. Jesus Christ, even while in such pain, still turned toward God. You would think I wouldn't have to admonish us to do this tonight, but I've been pastoring only one church all of my pastoral life, and I've been there 31 years, and I have watched people when their world collapses, when it flies apart, when everything goes in directions they never dreamed, all of a sudden they turn away from God, away from the church, away from the preacher, away from the only avenues of help. I say to you tonight, I need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when in my great times of suffering, I need to turn toward God in a greater fashion than I ever have at any other time in my life. Run, child of God. Run to the only one who can help you. Turn to the only place where there's some relief. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn inward, trying to figure it all out. Becoming the great inspector of your life and trying to continue to figure all of that out. You'll end up performing an autopsy and bleeding to death. Don't turn to a friend and have to always be bleeding on them. There's no help in them. They're just as human as you are. I'm telling you, but there's a God in heaven who's already been there. He gave us the example. If you've ever turned toward God, when your world flies apart, run hard toward Him. Secondly, quickly, He never relaxed His hold on faith. Do you hear the words? My, how they pierce the darkness. Eli! Eli! They literally mean, My Mighty One. My Strong One. Well, if anyone could peer through the darkness, they know He's still on the cross. They would have to be saying, if they were brave enough in that total darkness, they would have to be saying, if He really does know God, and if God really is God, seems strange that He's in such a predicament. His surroundings do not allow Him the privilege for people to be thinking that God's on His side. And in fact, now more than ever is when it would be most difficult to say, He's my God. It's easy to declare God as your God when you're living in a $500,000 house, driving a $50,000 automobile, operating with good health, everything going in your direction. Easy then to say, oh yeah, my God's been good to me. But in the midst of your crucifixion, in the midst of your pain, that's when Jesus said, I want everybody to know He's still my God. It may not look good. You may not understand it. But it makes no difference. I still claim Him. He's my God. If one shows up or if 100,000, He's my God. If the whole country decides to go against God, He's still my God. If my world flies into a million pieces before I get home tonight, I want to be able to say, if I have to do it through a flood of tears and through quivering lips, I want to tell my children, my grandbabies, and my sweet little wife, He's still my God. He's my God. He never relaxed His hold on faith. And then His silence instructs me. He speaks, but He never slanders. There's nobody ever done the perfect will of God on earth like Jesus Christ. Did the perfect will of the Father, and now He's hanging on a cross, suffering. Extreme sufferings. And I say to you tonight that this picture that's given to us here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though He speaks, He refuses to slander His God. If I could give a real quick word of caution tonight, the devil will tempt you every time you go through a crisis to somehow end up uttering a slanderous word against your God. Me and my wife sat many times series of meetings with a particular woman in our church some years ago. This woman's life was absolutely a wreck. She could never get on track. Seemed as though her life completely out of order. She would sit and cry and sit and cry, but she never revealed until this one particular evening what the real problem was. This woman's world had flown apart some years before. Her husband had run off with another woman, left her with a little son and a little daughter. She said, "I remember, preacher, walking out in my backyard. I felt like I was going to die." She said, "There was a little chain link fence that went around that yard, and I began to pace it like a dog would pace a chain link fence. I went from corner to corner, round and around that yard," and said, "in a little bit, I got to the rear corner and I raised my head and looked at a star-studded sky and I raised my fist and I said, 'God, you did this to me. You could have stopped this. You did this to me.' And I stopped her immediately. I said, 'Right there's where the train came off the tracks. Have you ever repented for that?' She looked at me with quivering lip, said, 'Never have until tonight. I believe I better do that.' The only hope she had was to get beyond that. Now, I'm glad there's even forgiveness for that, but I'm going to tell you something. One of the most dangerous things that we can ever do in our pain is to begin to accuse our God. If He is God, and if He does love me like my Bible tells me, He is in control, but in being in divine control, in His sovereign act, His love for me drives His every motion. He will not do me wrong. He cannot do wrong. There is this tendency in the human being, somebody's got to be at fault. And so the devil tries to get you to point your finger at God. Jesus never pointed a finger at God. But when I was just a boy, seemed like all the preachers that I would hear, they would say to me over and over, they'd say, "Don't you ever question God. Don't you ever question God." And then I began to read my Bible, and here's Jesus. And the only thing He says is He asks a question right in the middle of that thing, which preaches to me that I can ask God a question as long as I do not impugn the integrity of an almighty God. In fact, Jesus is instructing me when my world flies apart and when I'm living my worst nightmare, I'm supposed to run quickly and ask Him. Jesus cries out, my God, why? Why?" One of the wisest things you can ever do and one of the wisest things I can ever do is when my world flies apart, instead of me trying to fix that thing immediately, is drop quickly to my knees and say, "Dear God in heaven, why has this come upon me? Why is this in my world? Because, dear Lord, if I am the cause of this, I want You to lay Your finger squarely on it. I really want to repent. I want to be back in fellowship with You." My daughter has a husband and five babies. They're like stair steps. The youngest one is, I think, 3 and a half now. The oldest one's 11. And every day in that busy day, my phone will ring at least 3 times a day. I don't care if I'm north, south, east coast, west coast, in the country, out of the country. My phone will ring 3 times a day at least. "Daddy, you doing okay?" "Yeah, I'm all right, baby." "Okay." She'll say, "Just check it in." I said, well, thank you, baby. Before we get off the phone, every now and then she'll say, Daddy, you sure you're all right? You sound a little twisted up, she says. I said, well, baby, you know, I'm dealing with this, dealing with that. I don't identify any of it, but I this little matter has to be... I guess you could say I'm twisted up a little bit. But darling, I'm all right. Everything's okay. Okay, Daddy, I was just checking on you. I love you. She had to fold up. I know exactly what she's doing. I mean, as soon as we say goodbye, she's popping that speed dial to her mama's number. What's wrong with Daddy? Is he okay? In a little bit, she's going to be calling me back. She'll say, Daddy, I don't want to bother you, but you sounded a little twisted up. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right. Takes her a little while to get to this one, but here's where she's headed for the sake of time tonight. Eventually, here's what's coming out of her mouth. She's saying, Daddy, and I hear her little voice begin to quiver. Daddy, have I done anything? Have I done anything? Have I said something or maybe hurt you? Now, I was just busy. I was tormented with a thousand other things. All she sensed was a little separation of fellowship. And she wanted to correct that thing. If I did that, Daddy, if this separation of fellowship is because of me, I just want you to know I'm sorry and I love you. I didn't mean to say whatever I said or whatever. She'd apologize for anything. The Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is there a distance between me and thee? The very first time in your nightmare that you don't sense God really close by in that thing, you ought to begin to cry out, Dear God, why? Why? I know it can't be on your part, God. It has to be on my part. Put your finger on it. Let me say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I want to remind you, the heavens were silent. They were silent. Nothing was said. God the Father didn't put His finger on anything. Oh, there have been many times when I've sensed that separation in my night of nightmare. I've had to say, Dear God, why? And He put His finger on something. And I was able to clear that thing up. Then there have been other times when I've honestly said, Dear God, why? And it's been just as quiet as death. It was as quiet as death there on the cross after that question. God the Father lays His finger on nothing. And so the Lord Jesus says to me and to you, Tony and congregation, when your world flies apart, when you're hurting, when you're crushed, when you feel betrayed, when you feel as though the suffering's greater than you can handle, and you cry out to God, and you say, Lord, why? Is it me? Is it me? And He doesn't put His finger on anything. What am I supposed to do then? I'm still hurting. The pain's still on me. The darkness is still covering me up. What do I do then? Well, I want to remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ remained. He continued to do what the Father had sent Him to do. He just continued to stay with it. Evidently said, this is not about me being happy or me feeling good. This is about doing the will of the Father. So I believe God's saying to me that if you have to preach the rest of your life through a fountain of tears, find that pulpit again, and crawl back in it by the grace of God, and stay with it. Amen. Jesus did not quit. He didn't stop. He didn't say, "Oh, it hurts too bad." He just continued on to do the will of the Father. You know, it's really not about me. It's not supposed to be about you. This entire thing that we've given our lives to is not about you being happy or fulfilled. It's not really about you feeling good all the time or the devil never working you over. It's not about you not suffering. In fact, the greatest ministry worked on earth was worked through suffering. I'm preaching about it. It's really not about us. And so Jesus says to me, "Tony, when you feel crucified in this world, if the devil has hung you out to dry, you just keep doing what God sent you to do. If you've honestly said, 'Dear God, is it me? Is it me? Why? Is it me?' Don't stay down there with all of that, butchering yourself up. Get up from there. Head back to that little Sunday school classroom. Go back out there with another track in your pocket. Dive back in the Word of God and study a little further. Find another corner to pray and get serious with God. Preacher, preach! Just keep doing what God sent you to do." It's what Jesus did. Now tonight, for some of you may be sitting in here and you're not saved, you're not born again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It's been preached to us forever. I give it to you in closing. God saw fit to do this to His darling Son so that He wouldn't have to bring that kind of suffering upon you. That's why. God Almighty separated with the Son so He'd never have to separate from you. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Christian, before the sun comes up in the morning, I don't have time tonight to give you stories. Being a preacher doesn't exempt you. My heart has been shattered. It's been broken. I've visited the cave of Adullam. Like Paul, I have wished that I could die. Like David, I have wished I was never born. But I say to you, Jesus gave me a grand example. I want to keep turning toward God. If I have to say it from somewhere deep inside, crying all the way, I want people to know He's still my God. I still believe in Him. And I want to continue, even if I have to do it in pain. I will tell you this little secret, though, Christian. I've found out that pain only lasts for a little while. I think He must have known I'm not able to endure it as much as He was. Because when I just make that resolve, I'm going on by the grace of God. If I have to cry my way through the next message, if I have to look like a blithering idiot, I'm going to do what God sent me to do. Seems like God begins to put air in my sails. And thank God every time I have smiled again. Honor God in your nightmare. Please stand tonight. I'm through preaching. Thank you for your kind attention. Heads are bowed, please. I want to ask the Raines family, if you would. Would you come back? Would you come back and sing for us for the invitation tonight? My Heavenly Father, all these sorrows and troubles of life are so common to every one of us. You knew when you looked from that cross, you knew that every one of us as your children would have to suffer, We'd have to go through times when it seemed like life was an absolute nightmare. Lord, I thank You for giving us the living illustration of how to behave ourselves in that moment. God, tonight, if I'm going to behave myself as Jesus did, I'm going to have to find myself humbly somewhere at the feet of Jesus, begging for the good grace of God to help me to not dishonor You in my next nightmare. Please, dear God in heaven, give me the grace to not dishonor Thee in my next nightmare. And help others tonight as well. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. They're singing. People are praying here at the altar tonight. How about you? Mama, Daddy, one of the worst things that could ever happen in your home is for you to break down in your next crises. Jesus gave us the way to handle it. But you're going to need to bow humbly and ask God Almighty to give you the grace to not dishonor Him in your troubles. Please sing, ladies.
Before He promised,
are you hurting? There's help.
Looked at Abraham and smiled. God,
yes,
already.
That's right. That's right. Come right on. You're doing the right thing. I'd bring my babies with me. I don't know why any of us would hesitate.
Spare His life that day.
If your world's not crumbled tonight, I tell you, tomorrow's a good prospect for it. And then is when the challenge is on. Are we going to honor God when we're crushed?
And when taken by surprise, know that
it's so easy for us to say, my God, when we're on the mountaintop.
God already knew.
There's help tonight. There's help at the feet of Jesus.
Before He heard His sister's cry, God knew that Lazarus
That's
would
right.
rise. God already knew. Before He
Preacher,
healed
I want to pray.
That
Come
crippled
right ahead. I love
man,
you.
God knew that He would